Brian Conway Whitman. Thank God neither one wears a rug, they can't afford it. The Conway Whitman. Joe. Brian. You may not like what they have to say, but they're gonna say it to you anyway. Come on, everybody, listen to the show. It's on every Whitman. Joe, they're the baddest cats in the town. Ain't no lightning ever gonna strike them down. Come on, everybody, listen to the show. It's a nighttime tonic on your FM radio.
Studs!
True. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway, or just welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
This is not the second hour or third hour, for God's sakes.
Well, I mean, if
it's
they
the first
were,
hour.
Folks were probably listening last night and the night before, so it's like a soap opera. Welcome back.
There you go.
Could be an appropriate greeting.
All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. Tim Conway Jr. and Brian David Whitman.
And I feel much, please, Jerry, you don't play the drops while I'm speaking. Did you learn anything from the tongue lashing you got from Jack Silver? I feel good to be back. I feel as if my cold is 95% gone.
Well, that's good.
So I feel really good. Thank you, Tim.
I'm glad you're feeling better, my brother.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. A couple of things. This is a sign, I believe, of a true a-hole.
Mm.
I ran into a guy today.
Oh, boy.
And it's a friend. I've known the guy maybe 15 years.
He's an acquaintance or a friend?
Nah, I mean, I've been to his house. He's been to, I guess he's not been to mine. Been to his house, and he's in show business.
Okay.
Right? But he's not a producer or director. He's sort of like an ideas guy. You know, like he goes, he works on game shows, then he'll like work on a sitcom, and I don't know how he makes his money. I don't know what he does.
So sometimes at the end of a show, you see a credit. It says concept by.
Right.
And so that would be his
Might
name.
Be him.
Right. Okay.
I think he probably earns, you know, about $100,000 a year. He probably does pretty well for himself. He's got a wife and a kid. And ran into him today at a restaurant in the Valley.
Wow.
Sitting out there at Mort's Deli in Reseda and Ventura.
Oh, what a great place to eat.
Tell you, you can't beat that joint. And run into him, talking to him for a while. Hey, what are you doing? What's happening? He lays the whole story on me. He's very happy with his life, his wife, his kid. He's one of those guys that never reveals any negative crap.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand guys like that.
So I said, you know, what's happening with you? Were you watching these games this weekend? He goes, oh. He goes, I'm not going to be in town. I said, oh, really? Where are you going? Off to Sundance.
Oh, no.
And I go, oh, bubba.
Can you imagine having to sit through that?
Off to Sundance.
The Sundance Film Festival?
Anybody who ever goes to Sundance Film Festival is a major a-hole.
Well, now, let me stop you there.
Brian, don't.
I just want to stop you because I think a lot of industry people...
Doesn't matter. If you go to Sundance, you're an a-hole, all right? And I'll tell you why. I'll lay it out for you real clearly, okay?
I think you're offending a lot of people.
I know. But there's a big group of people that say, right on, Conway. Give it to them. Stick it to those a-holes.
Right.
There's that group, too. First of all, to have this film festival in, where is it, Telluride?
Yeah, it's in Colorado.
I think it's in Telluride, right? Wait, can you turn Gina's mic on, Jerry?
Aspen.
No, Park City, I believe.
Yeah, Utah. Utah.
No, is it Utah?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's in Utah. In Colorado is the Aspen Comedy Festival. Right. Okay. It's
All
in
right.
Utah.
It doesn't matter. Wherever this thing is, it's probably in a very expensive place to stay.
I think it is.
All right.
I think accommodations are very costly.
Right. So I don't understand the attraction here and the setup. You have a film festival, which is for people who have low-budget movies or movies that aren't getting a lot of publicity, and therefore the guy who directed it and produced it and wrote it, they don't have much money.
In many cases, they haven't made it yet.
Right. So why stick it in a very expensive part of the world?
Well, because on the flip
side... The same thing is with this effing Cannes Festival.
It's Cannes.
Well, whatever it is. Cannes, Cannes, it doesn't matter.
On the flip side of the coin, a lot of the people who go to Sundance are people who you would recognize. You know, Ron Howard's and Robert De Niro's. And
but those people are, you know, they shouldn't be going. All right? Anytime somebody is going to the Cannes Film Festival or the Sundance Film Festival, I think that they're a super a-hole. Mm. And I don't think that you can avoid that.
Without exception, I mean that you...
Well, there are exceptions. I'll tell you what the exceptions are.
All right.
For like a young kid who's just getting in the business, he's got a, you know, he wrote or directed a small film, and he's trying to get some extra publicity. So he's got to go up there and, you know, kiss ass on to everybody up there and try to get his career going.
And who knows, if things go right, he could be a star.
Right. Yeah, that could happen.
Right.
But for the other people, you know, the couples that go... They go up to a Park City, wherever the hell it is.
Oh, do they do that?
I think people do that.
Oh, they're like the Hollywood Bowlers?
Yeah.
Is it like it's
they
probably,
wander up there on these, you know, fly up there in their jets and...
It's probably like the Hollywood Bowl crowd. They bring a basket. They have wine and cheese in there and blankets.
Can you find out where this festival is for sure? Because I think...
It is in Utah, buddy.
It is in Park City, Utah?
Yeah, it is, buddy.
I'd like to see what the average hotel room costs in Park City, Utah. Maybe Jerry could look that up. Maybe a little hotels.com there, Babu.
Or maybe just sit there, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, there's that too.
But
oh, there he goes. He's screaming now.
So I told a friend of mine this. I said, you know, this guy is going to a Sundance film festival. And he took it a step further. He said, anytime you use the term Sundance without using Butch Cassidy in the same breath, you're an a-hole.
Kind of funny.
Park City, Utah. All right. I bet Park City, Utah is very, very expensive to stay, to eat, to rent a car, the whole deal.
I bet it is.
So why would, if you're looking for new talent and fresh talent and people that, you know, that don't have a lot of dough, why would they stick it in a place that's very expensive?
Right. Why not put it on Kester and Van Owen or something?
Why not do it in Bakersfield? Or why not do it, yeah, do it on, yeah, do it where that Krispy Kreme donut used to be on, you know, Sherman Way and Van Owen.
Yeah, you know the valley. You know the places.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, Timmy?
Yes.
The hotels there are like anywhere from, there's one from 86, but that's like some like little dump, I think, up to like 400. The average is like 200 a night.
200 a night? I bet it's more than that.
Yeah, I'm on the website here for Park City, parkcity.org. They were established in 1884, and you just look at the pictures of the skiing.
Beautiful area.
A beautiful, beautiful, spectacular surroundings. And they've got a big link here for the Sundance Film Festival 08.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know anybody who goes, and I don't associate with anybody who goes, and I can't imagine people are still doing this. Mm-hmm. You know. And by the way, when you go to the film festival... Aren't you really judged on the politics of your film as opposed to the quality?
Well, I think now, I think in 2008, with the way our society's become more and more politically correct, I think that's a greater likelihood now than maybe it was 30 years ago.
Right. I mean, you know, you go up there and you get the Sundance kid. He's there. And he has, you know, there's a lot of one.
No, it's just funny to hear you say the Sundance Kid is there.
Well, that's what he is, right? I mean, that's what he is, right?
Right.
I mean, he named the festival after, it's not the
right.
Robert Redford Festival,
right.
It's Sundance.
Right.
So you got the Sundance Kid up there, and he's they're looking at all these movies. And first of all, I can't imagine that. You know, from the moment you wake up until you go to bed, it's movie, movie, movie.
Yeah,
all day long.
Be too much for me.
Way too much. And so anyway, so you got the kid up there. And he's, you know, looking at these movies. There's discussion groups going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of, you know, partying happening up there. And I'm sure that it's a wildly, because look at the head of it. You know, Robert Redford's a very liberal guy, right? He just made the movie.
Lions for Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
No, I believe it was Lions for Lambs, yeah.
And I think the audience didn't go. I think the movie made $14 million or so.
I think people with the holidays were probably not mentally wanting to see, you know, a war movie.
Right. And again, if you want to see anti-war stuff, flip on MSNBC or CNN. You can watch it for free all day long. But anyway, so I think you're judged on the politics of your movie as opposed to the quality of your movie. And that's why, you know, you get like the Michael Moore's winning And I don't even know who else you know wins these deals.
Well, I mean, if you look back, and Jerry can probably actually help us with this, I think some of the great movies, though, to break out of the Sundance Film Festival, I think, for example, Blair Witch Project, a great movie done for $1 million. Didn't that break out of Sundance, Jerry?
I don't think it did. I think that was the internet that busted that one out, huh?
Really? Or what about Sex, Lies, and Videotape? I think that...
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, maybe I'm totally off.
No. Your point is well taken. I mean, there are an awful lot of political movies that they're showing, no doubt about it. And yes, it's like the Academy, like the people who vote for the Oscars. They've become more and more politically aware, and it puts a damper on things a little bit. I agree with that.
I imagine that this is how it goes. You know, you fly up there with your wife to Park City, you get yourself a hotel room, maybe you got a lot of money, you get a fireplace in that hotel room, and then you go across to see one of these movies. And I think if it's really anti-American enough,
yeah,
you know, where it's America sucks,
yeah,
I think the women get, you know, their nipples get all crazy, and the guys get boners, mm-hmm. and they're like, wow, look at this, oh, anti-America, and they start rubbing themselves.
Everybody gets hot.
Yeah.
Everybody gets hot.
As long as it's pro-France and anti-American, they start, everyone starts touching themselves, like, oh, look at this, another anti-American movie. Oh, look at her nipples.
Right, and then you get her back to the...
yeah, she's hotter than hell.
Right, you get her back to that, you know, that cabin you have with the fireplace, and... she throws on one of those negligees or those eclairs, as I was eclairs. She brings out some eclairs. You have a chocolate eclair. She puts on a negligee and look out.
But anyway, so that's one of the indications that a guy is a complete a-hole when he says he's off to Sundance,
mm-hmm.
right? And he actually assumed that I knew what that meant, and I just barely did.
Now, did you post a physical reaction to what he said? Did you have
I said to him, I said, oh, Babu, I said, why are you going? He goes, well, me and my wife, we take the kid. We like to go every year. I said, enjoy yourself.
Right.
But anyway, so that's one level where you can tell somebody's a complete a-hole, right? Here's another one. Anytime a man tells you, when you say to a guy, what do you do for a living? And he says, I sell cars. You'd think to yourself, well, that guy could be, you know, cool to hang out with. But I'd like to have a beer with that guy. He's probably a pretty average, you know, dude, right?
Right. Has like a guy's job.
Right. Maybe he works for Caltrans. He's a cop. He's a fireman. He's a paramedic. He works in a hospital. Those are all jobs that, you know, that you could probably stand sitting next to somebody and not be totally irritated.
Right, but in this example, you said a guy sells cars.
No. If you sell cars, you work at a hospital, you're a cop, all those areas, you know, they're all like average dudes. Here's something that you cannot possibly tolerate in a conversation.
All right.
When you say to a guy, what do you do for a living? And he says, I model.
Yeah, that's tough.
I model for a living.
Right.
Don't you just instantly check out of his orbit and his life?
Yeah, well, what you must understand...
I'm a male model.
You must understand that for male models, and I don't know much about male modeling at all, but I think on the outside looking in, that the orbit, the world, the universe of the male model is very different. Their orbit is very different from your orbit, Tim, or my orbit. So I think it's probably worth our while just to check out of that conversation, because we'll find very quickly that we have very little in common. I mean, he's like some pretty boy young kid who gets paid because he's, you know, a cute little guy to wear these clothes. Like, you know, like the guys at Abercrombie and Fitch. You know, you go in the... You go in the mall there, and they have on the wall, you know, they've got these young studs on the, you know, we have nothing in common with them. If you bumped into one of those guys at a bar, don't even bother chatting with him, because he doesn't understand you and you don't understand him.
Yeah, it's a different world.
It's a totally different world.
Yeah. Now, I understand when a woman says she models.
Well, that's a more...
That's a real turn on the guys.
Right. Well, then you want
to... you start thinking to yourself, ooh, does she model swimsuits, maybe lingerie? Is she a nude model like Gina Grand?
And there's always the chance that she's looking for male companionship.
Right.
Now, if you run into a male model and you're not gay and we're not gay... the only opportunity for companionship is a buddy relationship, which seems like a stretch with a male model.
I'm a male model. Oh, just listen how that sounds. What do you do for a living? I'm a male model.
Probably makes a lot of money, though. I wouldn't mind being one if I could be.
Ah, Bobo.
You know, if I could get out there for, well, I mean, what do they got? They got to make $5,000 a day. I mean, a really good one, $10,000 a day to.
No, not guys, really? You think what, guys do?
What, the guys you see like on Hollywood and Highland, you see on.
They're making $10,000 a day? No way.
Well, I don't know. They call you from the Gap and they say, put on this outfit and we're going to, and you're going to be our campaign and you're going to be in Times Square and your picture is going to be at in Hollywood and Highland in Los Angeles. I think you might make a couple of bucks.
Is that right?
I think so. I don't know, but I think so.
I used to, and I feel bad about this, but I used to bust Steckler's balls all the time because he modeled.
He what?
He modeled. He was in the JCPenney's catalog in Cleveland. He was playing like a young dad or, you know, with a sweater on or a sports coat over his shoulder.
For how long did my predecessor, Doug Steckler?
I think it was a couple of years.
He modeled.
In Cleveland.
And that was his only gig?
And he made a mistake of telling me that once, and I never let up on it. I feel like a complete a-hole.
You mother effer! Hey. Shut the F up! You want an answer? You want an effer?
How long did you model?
How
long did you model for?
You mother effer!
Hey, I'm just asking. I'm just asking how long you modeled for.
I'll come down there. Shut the F up.
All right. We're on Wilshire.
I just asked a question. You want an answer? You want to shut the F up?
All right. I'll shut the
God
F up.
Damn it.
All right, Dougie. Please.
You upset him. You brought it up again.
All right. What are some other indications that people are complete a-holes? There's two of them. If you go to Sundance and you say you're a male model.
If you go to Sundance and you're not in the industry, you're just taking your wife there to check out the movies, right? I mean, there's a distinction here.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're a male.
Well, even
model.
If you're in the industry, it's really. Let me take that back. If you're an agent, or if you're a director, if you're a writer or a producer or whatever you do, and you got a film there, or perhaps you're going there to get clients. You're an agent. You go there to try to find the next new hot director. I totally understand that.
Okay.
I'm not talking about those people.
You're talking about people.
I'm talking about the people
for recreation
that go there. To hang out with the most, radical people in the country.
Who hate George Bush.
They just hate, there's a lot of anti-American crap, swirling up around there.
Well, let me draw a distinction. Anti-George Bush is not anti-American necessarily.
No, there's a lot of anti-American
crap going on. So better say that than anti-George Bush, because to be against George Bush is not to be against America.
I understand the anti-George Bush stuff. I really do.
I know you do.
And and you can make an argument that he's the worst president in the history of the country.
A lot of people would
buy that.
I don't make that argument.
Well, some people do. And I understand that, there's a lot of people pissed off. The economy's in the toilet. The war is, going on and on. So I understand that move.
Got it.
But I don't understand America sucks all the time.
No,
I can't take it anymore.
And we should.
And you know what? And the United States said, F it, because you have Robert Redford, Tom Cruise, and Meryl Streep. All three of them, huge box office draws. And they put out an anti-American movie, this Silence of the Lambs.
Well, the anti-war movie.
Or,
Lions for Lambs. And it went tanked.
And it made $14 million. Right. So America, I think, has had an ass full of this.
Right. Well, America should stand up for itself.
We can't always.
We should be proud.
Start with America sucks and continue along that route.
Anyway,
not that entertaining.
Back to Sundance.
Right. All right. So anyway, so if you're at the Sundance Film Festival and you go there with your wife and kids just to see the movies, I think that's a real pretentious, a-hole-ish thing to do, and I don't know anybody that does it.
I don't know anyone that does it either.
Like, I have a friend, Frankie Renzo, who lives out in the Valley. If he told me he was going to Sundance,
I wouldn't believe it.
I would stop calling him.
It'd be over.
Yeah. Go to Sundance with Jackie and the kids and enjoy yourself, but right. I'm out.
Right. It'd be over.
Yeah.
And then the other category of people that we don't understand, and I think we want to be less
male models.
Want to be less critical of the second group because they can't really help it. I mean, if you're born with great genes and somebody approaches you and says, hey, you're genetically perfect, you need to be a male model and we're going to pay you a lot of money, you can't really blame that guy for taking the job.
No, I'm not blaming him for taking the job. I'm blaming him for telling me what he does for a living.
He should lie.
Absolutely.
What should he say?
You're in advertising, say.
Okay. I work for Caltrans or something.
Listen, when people ask me, what I do, if I'm like on an airplane, I'm talking to the guy next to me.
Yeah, sure.
I usually say, I'm in the, ad sales game.
Sure.
I never, you never tell people what you do for a living if it's a job that, that you're getting overly paid for.
Got it. I understand that.
It's a male model. F you, the male models. All right, the other forms of irritating human beings, how you tell that somebody is wildly irritating instantly. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. How can you instantly tell a guy's an a-hole? 520-9710, 888-520-9710.
You think a couple of indicators are, A, oh, I'm going to Sundance this week.
That's one of them, yeah.
And the other would be, oh, me, I'm a male model.
That's another one. All right, let's talk to... How about Nick in Westchester? You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey, all right.
Hey, I got two of them. The first one is, you can always tell if they're an a-hole if they go to USC.
You're going to make a lot of people angry, dude.
If a guy says, yeah, I'm going to SC, and they usually shorten it, then he's an a-hole?
Absolutely, dude.
All right.
All right, and the other one is, if your name is Leo Quinones.
Wait, who?
Leo Quinones, the film freak.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's a guy who doesn't like one of our hosts.
Yeah, you don't like Leo, huh?
No.
Why is that?
Is Leo at Sundance?
Have you ever listened to his show? He's an a-hole.
Oh, come on. He's just a guy who loves movies. He's not a critic. He's very enthusiastic about movies. And I'll tell you, off the air, he's one of the nicest guys you ever meet.
Yeah, but he's still an a-hole.
Nah, he's a good guy. He actually is. He does something with our program director, Jack Silver, that irritates Jack Silver to no end, and yet he keeps doing it, and I find it hysterical. He goes to hand Jack Silver a piece of paper, goes, hey, look at my ratings from the weekend, and when Jack goes to grab it, he pulls it away.
Yeah, like fifth grade stuff. And then Jack can't get it, and then he puts it back out.
And Jack gets so effing furious.
But Jack has bad reflexes. So, you know,
Don't you find this guy studling? Listen to this.
Hey, Leo the Film Freak here. It's the new year, and I got to tell you, I have never looked better. Why? I'm now under the care of Dr. Rispler and the Laser Dermatology Institute. All right.
I've never looked better. Wow,
he's a good-looking guy.
Sure. Quite a statement to make about oneself.
All right. How can you tell a guy's a complete a-hole? Rudy in Buena Park, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I got two of them. The first one is this new group of people who insist on carrying little dogs everywhere.
Oh, yeah, like in a bag, huh?
I don't do that.
Yeah, I have little dogs, but I don't carry them around in little papooses.
Yeah, they're animals, not accessories, you know, what these things are doing. And the other one has a radio show before you guys. So
there's a lot of shows on the station before us.
Right.
3 to 8.
Get out of here, JKs. What's wrong with you, people? Mike in Santa Monica, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
All right.
Hey, so I don't get credit for this one. This is George Carlin's idea. But you can basically determine how big of an a-hole someone is. If you're in Starbucks, if you listen to the length of someone's order, if it's like a venti, mocha, frappuccino, caramelata with no skim milk at a certain temperature, they're a real big a-hole versus the rest of us who just get a black coffee.
That's exactly correct. And by the way, who has ever acquired that taste? You know, I mean, who has such sensitive taste buds?
A lot of experimenting.
That they have narrowed it down to, you know, like a 7 or 8, maybe 7 or 8 second order with their coffee.
Right. Well, I'll tell you again, it's a lot of trying this, pulling that out, putting that in, a drop of this, hit me with a little bit of that, half of that. It's a lot of that over months and months of time.
Yeah. And the guys behind there making those coffees, they can't always be sure that they're going to make it properly for you.
Well, Tim, here's another one. If you work at Starbucks and you call yourself a barista,
right,
does that make you an a-hole?
No, I think they make you call.
I think those guys are, you know, they're not earning a ton of money.
Well, and by the way, in fairness, they're not your average coffee maker. They're not the guy at McDonald's, you know, making the coffee.
Yeah, I think that the only people you can really call a-holes are people who make a lot of money. I think they're fair game. I don't think these guys, these baristas make. I'll tell you what I do find in Starbucks. Here's a real indication that a guy is a huge a-hole. If he has a Starbucks name, He doesn't use his real one.
Yeah, well, we've been through that. That's for convenience,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like, my name is Curtis, but my Starbucks name is Tom.
Well, no, I have a friend who does that.
You do?
Yeah, because his name...
A guy?
Yeah, because his name is Nathaniel, and that's a long name.
So if he goes with Nate?
No, he doesn't like his name, so he just says Mark.
Oh, Babu, is that right?
Or he just says John, you know, because he thinks his name sounds a little gay, so he doesn't, you know, so he just says John.
Why does he go with Nate? Nate's a cool name.
Yeah, but that's not his name. It's not the dude you... I do have a friend named Nate, but this is not him. This is another guy. Whose name is Nathaniel, and his family calls him that. This is not my buddy who you know. This is another dude.
All right, the complete a-holes. How do you tell guys are complete a-holes? Robert in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
All right.
So I think guys who only... prefer a specific kind of beer, even if the beer's free, like they have to have like a foreign beer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. These guys who walk into a bar and it takes them 20 minutes to order a beer.
Exactly.
How about these guys that they go up to the bar and go, what do you got?
We got everything.
You're 40 years old. Don't you have a common beer you enjoy?
Well, and what do we got? You've been coming to bars for 19 years. You're 40. We got pretty much everything every bar you've ever been to has.
Yeah, what are you looking for, sweetheart? That should be the response every time a guy asks what kind of beer you want. What are you looking for, darling? All right, thanks for calling, buddy. But, you know, you see the bottles on the shelf. You see a Heineken, a Bud Light, Miller Lite.
Right, even the Draft, they have a display.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Have displays on them.
What do you got? Oh, got a clothes sign that we're lighting up. Get out of here. All right, how do you tell guys? You know, it's always hard to tell if women are a-holes because women disguise their a-holery until months and months later on.
Into the marriage.
Well, maybe sometimes in the marriage, sometimes just into like 5 or 6 months dating. They'll put on a show.
Right.
Because they've always been taught to do that.
They want to rope you in.
Well, there's a lot of fake things about women. They know how to manipulate.
Now,
guys really don't.
The example of going to Sundance, a guy who goes to Sundance just for recreation because he loves movies and his wife loves movies, and yeah, they might have a couple more bucks than the average couple, so they go to the Sundance Film Festival. That's one category. We could talk about that. Or male models. Now, what if a guy really is a male model and he's making $500,000 a year because he's the Abercrombie and Fitch dude who takes his shirt off and puts on their jeans and they give him $500,000 a year for that?
Right. Then say you're an actor or say you're an ad, you know, you're in advertising or something.
Yeah.
But you don't lay that on a dude.
You tell chicks?
Yeah, you tell chicks. Okay, you tell chicks anything.
You don't tell guys. All right.
Yeah. Like when somebody says, here's another one.
See, I don't think girls want that either.
Dude, here's another one. When you ask a guy what he does for a living and you don't recognize him and he says he's a stand-up comic.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
And then you have to ask him, like, well, what's your routine all about?
Yeah. Well, you often say, hit me with a joke, dude.
Yeah, what are you open with?
Yeah, some guys will say this. I do a little stand-up comedy.
I understand if a guy is like, you know, if you ask George Carlin what you do for a living, he's a stand-up comic.
Or you ask Tom Dreesen,
or Jerry Seinfeld. You know, he's a stand-up comic.
These guys perform all the time.
These guys are making millions doing it. But if you ask like a guy whose real job is, you know, working at Al's Auto Shop, but he does stand-up on weekends.
Right, he's not
and he says he's a stand-up.
Right, he's not.
He ain't standing up.
That's right. Well, he might stand up on the stage, but he's not a stand-up comic. Right.
I don't know what he's doing.
Gotcha.
All right, how do you tell a guy is a complete effing a-hole? Randy in South Central, you're on 97.1. Where you been, dude?
Been working, man. I ain't seen you since we've been up there to the Commerce Club.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Hey, one of the things that I tell you, when a guy starts putting down U.S. cars, like a Camaro or the Corvette, and he starts talking about these wimpy homosexual cars that he's supposed to be so much better, you know, that just burns me up.
Randy's a real car guy, like a real, you know, like a macho car dude.
Right.
You know.
I was getting that.
Yeah, anything that's less than 350 under his hood, he thinks is gay.
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, man. Happy New Year, dude.
All right.
I've known that guy for a long time. I met him probably about 8 years ago. He lives in South Central L.A., and he was going to go gun shopping with me.
Yeah, you guys sound like you have a very warm relationship.
A cool guy. I like that dude. All right, how do you tell a guy's complete effing a-hole? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It's the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM.
Sure.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. How can you tell a guy, how can you instantly tell a guy's an a-hole? And I mean, we've got a couple of good ones.
Yeah, we got a couple of good ones. If a guy says to you...
I'm off to Sundance.
Yeah, I'm off to the Sundance Film Festival. Or if he says to you, what do I do for a living? I'm a male model.
Yeah, can't get past that.
Right.
And I wonder if chicks have the same negative response to dudes saying this as we dudes have.
I don't know. I think they're turned on by that.
Nah, see, I think if a chick and Gina Grad...
Hey, Gina, let's ask you, baby. If you meet a guy at a market, you know, or Bullocks or Broadway.
Right.
Or Licorice Pizza.
He says to you, wherever you hang, he says to you, what do you do? And you tell him what you do. And then you say, what do you do for a living? And he says, oh, I'm a male model. When you walk away, are you like, oh, God, or are you hot?
Well, I'm not hot because it's either like, whatever, or, oh, we're going to be such good girlfriends.
Okay. All right, let's talk to about this. Ernesto on the 10 freeway. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, man.
Nice. Well, usually when some dudes get into arguments...
We can't use the full term, but I understand your vibe. He was talking about lawyers.
Yeah, and that generates a lot of anger.
Yeah, when you get in an argument with somebody, goes, you know, I'm a lawyer. Oh, really? Look at you.
As if you're supposed to shut down completely.
Look at you. Jason in Northridge, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guy?
Hey, how do you tell a guy guy's an a-hole?
Oh, yeah, that guy who constantly reminds others that he's been in the radio business for 21 years.
He's 22 in June, by the way.
Right, get out of here, Jack. What's wrong with you?
But he's right.
Mac in Compton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, you two stud?
Not bad.
You know a guy's an a-hole when he's on the freeway with his convertible, top down, windows up. Come on, dude.
Right. It's not 1980.
Every time I see that guy, I think, man, what an a-hole.
You know what? Here's another one. And that guy stops at a stoplight and he checks his hair.
Yeah, but you know, but Mac, in fairness, and Conway, in fairness to that guy, he does have a convertible car. I mean, is he supposed to never take the top down?
No. It's driving with the top down and the windows up.
Okay, but all right. Okay,
you know,
fine.
I mean, if you're gonna have the top down, you're into being outside. What's with the windows?
Well, okay,
exactly.
All right.
You know. Hey, Timmy, can you take me out with a? Can I get some snow?
I think we have, can I get some snow? Oh, yeah, I think it's...
Can I get some snow?
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care, dude.
Can I get some snow?
Yeah, you're right, those guys, because it does take just 2 seconds to roll the windows down.
Yeah, but you know what? They like being in a convertible where people can see them, but they don't like the wind.
Right. They want wind shields all around them.
Right. They want to be shielded from the wind, but show everybody that they're in a convertible. You know what else I notice, and this is something that I'll probably do for the rest of my life, and it's discrimination against a whole class of people, and I feel ashamed that I feel this way.
Tim, you're engaging in discriminatory behavior?
Yes. When I see two guys driving alone, just the two guys in a convertible.
Right.
Whammo.
Gay?
Yeah.
Oh.
Two guys in a convertible. They could both be wearing Raiders helmets.
Right.
And play for the Raiders.
But it's not always true that they're gay, Tim.
I know it's not. But it's 99% of the time they're not.
Yeah, but you can't get
But
past
when
it.
I see two guys in a convertible with that top down, I go, ah.
Does it matter what color the car is?
Aha! It doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
All right, let's talk to Chris on the 210. You're on 97.1.
Hey, I think the biggest a-holes on the face of the planet are critics, and I have two reasons for this. One, they make a living tearing down other people's hard work, and two, they try and shove it down everybody's throat and tell you what to think.
All right.
All right.
No, sir. George and Hemet, you're on 97.1.
The argument against critics, man.
Yeah, how about dudes that are like on the freeway in a Corvette and going 50 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah. Well, anybody anybody on the freeway going under the speed limit or even, you know, 10 miles over the speed limit is an a-hole.
You were talking earlier, Tim, about two guys in a convertible and you think instantly, bam, gay dudes. You know what? I don't always have that thought. However, if I do see two guys in a convertible and the seat divider is pulled up and the guy sitting right next to the driver
with his arm around him,
then I think, you know what? There might be something there.
Ah, all right, so that's, they have to take it a step further.
If that divider's up, you know, where you put your drink or whatever.
Yes.
If that's pulled up there and they're, you know, then I get to thinking.
And the other guy's got his head in the other dude's lap.
Right. Then I really start to have some questions.
All right, let's talk to Kevin in Marietta. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Okay, what about the guys that have to park all retarded and take up two spaces so that you can't get too close to them?
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, there's still people. That happened at Costco a couple weeks ago to me.
Hmm.
And this is Southern California where there are a billion cars.
Right.
Anybody who does that, the cops should be able to arrest them.
And remove the car from the parking lot.
And just shoot them.
And here's the kicker, is that doesn't work because they're doing it to keep their car from getting scratched. And that's the car that I'm going to scratch on purpose.
That's the car everybody wants to scratch.
You know,
exactly.
You guys are right, and there's something arrogant about using more space than you need in a parking lot. However, it should be said that we live in a big car world. And parking spaces are getting smaller. And it is weird. Don't you think? The timing's weird. At the very time that more of us are buying SUVs and larger cars, compact spaces and parking lot spaces are getting tinier and tinier. Why is that happening?
Well, obviously, they just want, you know, more parking for, you know, to put these, you know, people in the stores. I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was watching the O'Reilly
Factor,
the Bill O'Reilly show.
Yeah, my comment didn't need a
but it was my dad was on there.
Yeah,
McHale's Navy.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see.
But I think you're right. I mean, I can't find a big enough parking spot for even the Subaru that I have.
Right, it's all compact spots.
Yes,
yeah.
I can't stand that. And you know what? They have compact spots in front of Fatburger. Those are the people going in.
Oh, Tim,
were you distracted?
I'm sorry. Your dad is on TV right now.
Oh, that's right. My dad's on the.
He's on with Ernest Borgnine. I'm sorry.
The O'Reilly Factor.
What were you? Did you say something about Fatburger or something?
Yeah, turn the TV on.
I wasn't.
Tim Conway. Look at that on Bill O'Reilly's show.
I wasn't listening to
it. I'm sorry.
Sure.
All right. How do you instantly tell
there's
a
your
guy
dad.
Is there a complete
he
is. A-hole?
He's going to fall off the ship now. There he goes.
There he goes.
Why is it funny every time? Why is it every time? Why
that guy looks good. Ernest Borgnine, I think, is 90 years old.
Ernest looks like a million. You know, he looks about 30.
Yeah, I think he's in his late 80s. Good looking dude. All right, let's talk to Justin. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, what do you got?
How about when a guy requires that you call him by his full name instead of like an abbreviated version?
Like so, Michael?
Yeah, or Timothy instead of Tim.
Yeah, sometimes
that's
you
so
get
great.
Sometimes or Gregory.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you met a Gregory who doesn't want
that's
to be called
classic?
Gregory?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of guys like that, but I've met a couple. You're right, man. That is an a-hole.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Good call, Justin. Look at that, man. Some of the. Smartest callers in the business.
I tell you, they're bouncing back from the last couple of nights. You would have thought if you had sampled our show, wow, they have a dumb audience. But tonight, we're bouncing back.
We hit them hard tonight. All right, let's talk to Vince in Rancho Cucamonga. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going,
guys? All right, what do you got?
I think that you guys are missing the when I grew up, the people who were an a-hole, if you said something they didn't like, first thing they're going to do is punch you straight in the face. Now, that's a real a-hole. These guys that you're calling a-holes, some of them are jerks. And I'll tell you what, the guy who takes two parking spaces, that guy's really a jerk, and he's probably going to get his car scratched if he does it enough times, because sooner or later, odds are going to win out against the people who use common
right.
sense and restraint.
What's
right.
his name again?
But, your show's great.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that. It's right, Vince in Rancho Cucamonga, right?
All right, thank you,
all right, there he goes.
Thank you.
Doesn't matter.
Why, you asked. What, didn't you ask what his name was?
What's his name again?
Vince in Rancho Cucamonga.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Do you want right. to, do you want to get someone in here who calls horse races? Because
yeah, let's
get somebody in here that can that calls horse races.
All right, when we come back, gang, we have a very attractive young lady who's single and she is looking for a husband.
And I look really fat tonight too.
Yeah, and she.
No, Tim, don't. You're not supposed to agree with that when I say.
What'd you say?
You're supposed to say no, dude. You look okay.
Oh, you look fine. You look great. But anyway, if you like to see her picture, yeah, it became English all of a sudden, right? It's pretty cool.
If you like to see her picture, you go to our website. She's right on there.
Yeah, her name is Lindsay. Go to conwayandwhitman.com. And about halfway down, right under my two pictures. So look at my pictures first. And then Gina's friend Lindsay is with us.
If you like to see her picture, you know, just go online if you like to see it.
She's 27 years old, blonde, 5'4", 100 pounds. And
sure.
They put an extra zero in that? Oh, no, that's 100. It looks weird there.
Yeah.
And anyway, Gina's friend is single, and she wants a husband, man. So we're going to try to find her one. If you like the picture,
yeah.
Check out her picture on conwayandwhitman.com. If you like the picture, call us. Maybe we'll hook you up with her.
And by the way, dudes, if you like the picture, you're going to love the real thing.
All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. News when we come back. And then Lindsay, who's single, is looking to get married the next couple weeks. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM.